Good morning, Africa. Welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voice of America. I'm James Barton in Washington. Today is Monday, January 1st, New Year's Day. And here are some of the stories we are covering. DRC President Felix Tshisekedi has won his second five-year term, according to the country's Elections Commission.
Here in North Kivu and in many cities of the eastern of Democratic Republic of Congo, people are enjoying this victory.
A Sudan civilian coalition is expected to meet with the leader of the Rapid Support Forces in Addis Ababa today, Monday. Zambia's information minister explains why the country's foreign minister resigned. Liberians debate President Weah's nomination of a Supreme Court Associate Justice.
Mr. Dean, the minister should remain at his ministry and then get audited. The audit will come immediately after the inauguration.
And New Year greetings from our listeners. Those stories plus something O'Malley Sports are coming up on Daybreak Africa. The Democratic Republic of Congo is bracing for either court challenges or protests after leading opposition candidates rejected the results of the December 20 elections. The country's electoral commission, also known as CENI, announced on Sunday that President Felix Tshisekedi has won his second five-year term with 73.34% of the vote. The losing candidates have rejected the results and are calling for protests. Reporter Al Katanti Sebiti Jaffa is in the eastern DRC city of Goma, and he tells me people there are happy about President Tshisekedi's victory because of his campaign promise to end the conflicts in the east.
Here in North Kivu and in many cities of the eastern of Democratic Republic of Congo, people are enjoying this victory. Not only members of his political party, but a lot of citizens in eastern Congo were supporting Felix Tshisekedi. And, you know, when campaigning, the President Tshisekedi was accusing Rwanda and was saying he will fight against Rwanda so that the Eastern Congo gets peace. And this is what made a lot of people in Eastern Congo, especially here in Goma, take President Tshisekedi as the best person to lead DRC in the second 5 years.
What do you think went wrong, Jaffa, especially for Mr. Fayulu, who claimed to have won the 2018 elections? He received just 5% of the vote, according to CENI.
I don't think there was something wrong with Mr. Fayulu this time. First of all, we must know that even in 2018, there was not a Fayulu candidate. Fayulu was the candidate of the opposition. And behind him, there was Moise Katumbi, Jean-Pierre Bemba, Adolfo Mozito. There was biggest politicians of Congo who were not able to participate on the election regarding the problem they had with the Congolese justice and the case of Jean-Pierre Bemba with the international justice. So all of those people called their members of political party to vote for Fayulu at the last election. But this time, Fayulu was himself. So Fayulu lost all the support what he got last time. That's why this time he didn't have even 10%.
Of course, with so many candidates, the question becomes, would the opposition have won if they had rallied behind a single candidate?
Exactly. If opposition had only one candidate, he could maybe get more voices than President Tshisekedi, but unfortunately, that's what they didn't do.
We hear that Fayulu and other candidates, opposition candidates, are going to challenge the results. What should we expect?
3 days ago, Moise Katumbi, via his X account, said that he won't attack election at the Constitutional Court because he's not trusting on the judge at the Constitutional Court. So he called on people to take their destiny in hand and push President Tshisekedi to leave because he didn't organize good election. And today, just after the proclamation, Martin Fayulu did the same. He called people to go on street and to push President Tshisekedi to reorganize good election so that Congolese people can vote their president.
That was reporter Jafar Alkatanti speaking with us from Goma, the Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo. The Sudanese civilian leadership body called the Coordination of Civil Democratic Forces is expected to meet today, January 1st, with Rapid Support Forces RSF leader Mohamed Hamdan Daglo in Addis Ababa. The Sudan Tribune Online reports on Sunday that the group will be led by former Prime Minister Abdallah Hamdok to discuss how to protect civilians in the ongoing conflict. Suleiman Baldo is the director of Sudan Transparency and Policy Tracker. He tells me that it will be a major achievement and public relations stunt for the RSF if the group is able to get concessions from the RSF.
I think MAT, the head of the Rapid Support Forces, will try to get a maximum of PR mileage out of the meeting to pose as the commander who is concerned about civilian protection, humanitarian access, and an end to the war. This is the points on which the civilian coalition is trying to demands to Hamiti and to Al Burhan as well. The civilian delegation is also expected to ask Hamiti to release thousands of civilians who are detained by the Rapid Support Forces. I don't know whether the Rapid Support Forces will comply with that request, but if they do, it will be a major achievement for the coalition and a PR stunt for the Rapid Support Forces. The fact of the matter, Rapid Support Forces have been a major perpetrator of human rights violation. They have been ignoring international human rights and humanitarian law, causing much of the destruction and of the violations that are occurring in the context of the current ongoing war in Sudan. In part, to a large extent, with the Sudan armed forces who have been involved mostly in indiscriminate aerial attacks on areas held by the Rebel Support Forces, with total disregard to collateral damage among civilians.
So many efforts have been made to end the Sudan conflict. What do you expect will come out of it?
I don't think the civilian delegation will achieve an end to the war. This is what is expected to be the object of the discussion in the meeting between Al Burhan, the head of the Sudanese army, and Hamiti, the head of the Rapid Support Forces. However, the civilian delegation is going to ask for civilian protection, humanitarian access, and an end to the war so that a civilian-led democratic transition could occur in the country.
So in a sense, the meeting is still very important, even if they don't find a solution to end the conflict.
It's not going to end the conflict, definitely not. But it can help alleviate the burden and the cost for civilians from this destructive conflict. The civil democratic forces have also addressed the same request to Burhan to meet with him. They have not yet received a response from the army, but they said they are in discussion with senior commanders of the Sudan Armed Forces.
Thank you so much again, sir. Let me say Happy New Year to you.
Thank you for having me, and Happy New Year to you and your listeners.
Suleiman Baldo is the director of Sudan Transparency and Policy Tracker. He was speaking with us from the U.S. state of New Jersey. Zambia's information minister says the country's foreign minister, Stanley Kakubo, resigned over a private business transaction that went sour and not about anything that has to do with his official government duties. The Lusaka Times quotes Kakubo as saying he resigned to avoid distracting the government from addressing societal challenges. Information Minister Cornelius Mwitwa tells me that Kakubo was involved in a private mining deal with a Chinese firm, but not in his capacity as a government minister.
What transpired is that sometime last year, Honorable Kakubo was involved in a private business transaction over some mining rights which he owns in a particular mine. And according to the information that this far I have, sold those rights to a Chinese entity or firm. After selling to the Chinese firm, Apparently, whatever the reason could be, maybe they had not paid him in full as per the agreement. He sought to terminate the contracts of that particular transaction. And then they were up and down with one another until this particular time when they decided that they go public to say the minister had gotten money from them but was failing to convey the mining rights, and be known to him that they had actually been recording him on video over the financial or money transactions that they were making, and also they adduced evidence in writing of certain receipts of money that Honorable Kakubo made. Now, what is important here to stress is that Honorable Kakubo in this transaction was performing a private business transaction as a citizen. He was not working in his capacity as a minister of government. So this is purely private to private business enterprise. This is a business transaction that has gone sour.
Did the government know, did you know, or the president, Hakainde Hichilema, know about this dealing before the minister was appointed?
Actually, the transaction took place while he was already a minister, because it is last year. He has been a minister since 2021. So that transaction took place last year. So he was already a minister. He was doing this as a businessman. The president was not aware that, you know, he had this kind of private business engagements. But from the face of it, there is nothing wrong with the business itself. What was wrong was to receive some monies and then fail to fulfill contractual obligations as required.
Minister, thank you so much again. Let me say Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you, Voice of America, and all the dear listeners of Voice of America. And we wish you a prosperous and successful 2024.
Cornelius Mwitwa is Zambia's Information Minister. He was speaking with us from the capital, Lusaka. You are listening to Daybreak Africa on the Voice of America. I'm James Barty in Washington. Today is Monday, January 1st, New Year's Day. For more African news and features, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Connect with us on all social media platforms. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And still to come on our program, Samson O'Malley's post and your listeners' messages. Liberia's president-elect Joseph Boakai will officially take over the reins of government from President George Weah on January 22, 2024. Meanwhile, Weah's last-minute nomination of Justice Minister Frank Musa Ding as Associate Justice of the Supreme Court is generating widespread debate ahead of the inauguration. But some say Ding's appointment should have been left to President-elect Boakai. Senator Prince Johnson is one of those opposed to the nomination. He tells me that he will lobby his colleagues to vote against Dean's appointment when it is brought before the Senate.
Well, the thing is, why now? Weah wants to replace Joseph Nagbe, Associate Justice, who is sick and is in Ghana attending medical treatment. He's been there almost a year. Why does he want to change the man now? More especially when he, Mr. Weah, has declared a moratorium on every government activity with respect to appointment or nomination, government expenditure, and everything is being put to a halt. And after doing that, publishing the executive order, he now decided to make the nominations. Why is he doing that right now? We don't know. But we think it's untimely. Why doesn't he leave that with the new government to decide what to do in just a few weeks? 2 weeks from now, they will be out. I utterly object to that. Mr. Dean, the minister should remain at his ministry and let him get audited. The audit will come immediately after the inauguration.
Senator, first, let's go back on what you said about President Weah issuing an executive order freezing government employment. But can we say that the president is the chief executive, and even though he announces a freeze, it does not apply to him?
He is the chief executive who must work within the framework of our constitution, but he did come up with executive order putting freeze on all appointments or nominations, government expenditure. And after doing that, why did he come on now to make nomination in violation of his executive order? Now, the Minister of Justice told me that his constitution of Liberia is supreme, so it surpasses that of the executive order. And I said, is that a contradiction? The president, who should be working within the constitution is the organic law of the land. So why didn't he forget about the executive order to just go straight and make nomination, saying he has the power given him by the constitution? He should not have declared monitoring in the executive order. He should have just left it like that and go straight working with the constitution to make appointment and see whether the House or Senate will confirm or not. I strongly think it's a contradiction and it's untimely. He had been voted out a few weeks ago. Even if you had the power to appoint, why don't you leave that with the new government?
But President, he's trying to fulfill his duty to fill all the vacancies in the Supreme Court before he leaves.
I think he wants to put his own people for cover up. I strongly think so. And many of my colleagues believe that the same way, and Liberians think that way too. He should trust the new government to do what they're supposed to do appropriately within the framework of our law.
Senator Johnson, thank you so much. A pleasure to speak with you. Happy New Year to you.
Thank you, Jimmy. God bless you. Happy New Year to all of you in the United States.
That was Senator Prince Y. Johnson of Liberia speaking with us from the capital, Monrovia. It is time now for Daybreak Africa's posting. Here is Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria. A very good Monday morning to you, Samson.
Good Monday morning to you too, James, and Happy New Year. We begin the sport with world champion Beatrice Chebet, who ended her year on a high by running 14 minutes, 13 seconds to smash the women's world 5-kilometer record at the Casa dels Nassos World Athletics Labor Road Race in Barcelona on Sunday. The 23-year-old Kenyan improved on the previous women-only world record of 14 minutes, 29 seconds set by Ethiopia's Simbere Tifer in Herzogenaurach on the 12th of September 2021, while her performance was also faster than the women's world record set in the mixed race of 14 minutes, 19 seconds achieved by Ethiopia's Ijigeru Tae at the 2021 Casa dels Nassos. Tae finished second behind Chebet on this occasion, clocking 14 minutes, 21 seconds, while Kenya's Lilian Kazet Eregrok was third in 14 minutes, 26 seconds. Staying with athletics, but on a rather sad note, Ugandan athlete Benjamin Kiplagat, who has represented Uganda at three Olympic Games, has been found dead in Kenya. The 34-year-old Kiplagat ran at the 2012 London Olympics in the 3,000-meter steeplechase. He was reportedly found in a car with stab wounds to his chest and neck near the Kenyan town of Eldoret, known as a top training center for athletes. Kiplagat will be remembered as Uganda's greatest ever athlete in his discipline. His performance at Lausanne in Switzerland in 2009 saw him pass the finish line in just 8 minutes and 3 seconds and remains Uganda's national records in the 3,000-meter steeplechase. In Nigeria, Nigeria's track queen Tobi Amusan will return to 60-meter hurdling action for the first time in 2 years when she competes at the All-In Copernicus Cup on February the 6th, 2024. Amusan has been scheduled to face a stacked field that includes Poland's Pia Skrzydłowska and Rieta Huska, who have personal best times of 7.78 seconds and 7.79 seconds. The world 100-meter hurdle record holder at 12.12 seconds will be aiming to kick off her indoor season on a memorable note as she prepares to have an iconic outing at the Paris Olympic Games. In basketball news, Tunisia's national basketball team will face their Somali counterparts on Monday in the quarterfinals of the Arab Championship being hosted by Egypt. Tunisia qualified for the quarterfinals after defeating their Emirati counterparts 93-77 points. The North Africans finished second in Group B with 7 points, while Somalia finished third in Group A with 4 points. Tunisia were drawn in Group B alongside Egypt, the United Arab Emirates, Morocco, and Kuwait. And that's it for this New Year's edition of Daybreak Africa Sports. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria. It's back to you, James, in Washington, and Happy New Year to you.
Thank you, Samson. Happy New Year to you, too, and have a good Monday. We bring you reflection on 2023 and greetings and best wishes for 2024 from some of our listeners.
Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should old acquaintance be forgot and old
lang? I am Beauty Katebe of Lusaka, Zambia. 2023 has been a very impactful year on me and my household, all my children. It has been a very positive year. My wish for 2024 is that the government quickly manages to arrest the devaluation of the kwacha so that people can be given a breathing space because they've been going through economical challenges. I just want to wish all the listeners a happy 2024. Thank you.
Hi, James. I'm Kenny Wani David from South Sudan. Merry Christmas and prosperous New Year. We are very happy and very glad with all information and news that we are getting from Voice of America. So we are wishing you Merry Christmas and prosperous New Year. So you continue with all information that you are feeding us in South Sudan. Thank you. Thank you very much.
In South Africa, especially when we are looking economically, it was a very challenging year for a lot of people. And also with the uncertainties of what's happening in the country, it's been more than difficult. But I guess with some positivity going around, we have managed to somehow go through it. Yeah.
I'm Lasana Luna from Monrovia, Liberia. I would like to extend this season greetings to my family in and out of Liberia. I thank you all. May the God Almighty bless us all.
Happy New Year, baby. Oh, Happy New Year.
From the city of Douala, which is the economic capital of Cameroon, I want to wish Merry Christmas in arrears and a prosperous New Year to the staff and management of Voice of America, who has been reporting accurately about Africa, and their reporting is helping grow democracy in Africa. However, this concluding year 2023 wasn't a good one for Africa, especially in West Africa, where we have noticed a merry-go-round of coup d'etats. However, for next year 2024, my wish will be that peace should return to the entire African continent, liberal democracy should grow, and that in my country, Cameroon, genuine peace should return. And genuine peace comes with genuine, unconditional dialogue. And also, for it to happen, the various actors need to have love. Because if there is love, peace will reign. Happy New Year to the Voice of America and to all of the African continent and to all the world.
You've been listening to Reflections on 2023 and greetings and best wishes for 2024 from some of our listeners. And that's it for this Monday, January 1st edition of Daybreak Africa. We thank you for beginning your week with us. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa crew, I am James Botti in Washington, wishing that you will have a happy new year and a great week.